yourself the way you see it. Thank you. Thank you. Allowing me to see myself the way you see it. Thank you.
Good morning, good morning. Thank you for allowing you to see me the way I see myself. Kirk Franklin is saying it. You know, I'm here in the studio live, and when I hear that theme song come on, I know the Jay Wright Show is getting ready to come on. You should see my little body language going on in the studio, getting prepped and hyped so that I can give you a really good, exciting show Sunday morning as we always do. It's Sunday morning, 0900, and in the studio with me today, my man, Professor T-Bass in the studio handling the ones, the twos, the threes.
And the fours.
And the fours. All the technical smart stuff.
Yes, sir.
That's my first line of defense. You call in the day, you got to go through Professor T-Bass before you can get to Jay Wright. But you will get to me. This is the call-in platform, 843-308-9564 is the number. 843-308-9564 is the number. WJNI 106.3, the Jay Wright Show. Good morning, listeners. Thank you. Thank you to the sponsors. The sponsors, they make the show. So you support them because they support me and they support this platform that we have here. Ask You Paint and Body, Dorothy's Funeral Home, F. Brisbane Mortuary Transport, Gyrus Place in Charlotte, North Carolina. In fact, they're here this weekend. Johnson Hall Funeral Home, Hannibal's Kitchen, Family Seafood Market, Check Masters, Check Cashing, and the new sponsor, there are going to be others too, True Life Ministry on Rivers Avenue. Wallace and Tammy, thank y'all for being sponsors and considering the Jay Wright Show as an informative platform where information is being shared and it's valued. So you guys joined in to be a sponsor, and I greatly appreciate it. Always remember, the podcast, you can go to WJNI's webpage, click on the podcast, and you see the Jay Wright Show. You can listen to previous shows, get an idea of what I'm talking about here on Sunday mornings. So when you, whether you're a listener or caller, you can at least be informed on what this platform is about. So I appreciate you. I appreciate the sponsors. I appreciate the podcast. We're getting information out there. That's what we're doing. And it's good, wholesome information. We're having fun with this. I believe that. And Professor T-Bass, you're always grading me. So you can tell me whether or not it appears that we're having fun.
Yeah. Yeah. You definitely, you get an A on that now. You definitely get an A.
Good. Good. See, The professor has given me an A moving forward. Thank you, sir. Lucille Whooper, we lost her. She was a giant in the area. In 2018, I had the privilege of having her as a guest speaker for a fundraising effort for the Long Point School, 1904 school. We had at Seacoast Church. Her, I thought it was fitting to have her as a guest speaker, given the history and the things that she's done here in the state. And so we lost a giant, but of course, we want to, as on behalf of Jay Wright, the sponsors, WJNI 106.3, we want to wish condolences to the family, Seth, sisters. Thank y'all. Thank y'all for allowing us to have her as long as we've had her, and we wish the best there. Now, getting right into the show, some stuff I kind of brought to you, and of course, you know the Jay Wright Show. If I talk about it, you can talk about it. If I don't talk about it, you can call up here and remind me that it might have been important to you. My first thing I want to get a clear understanding about, and I need your help here, is what is the difference between an asylum seeker, i.e. the Afghans, versus the refugees? You know, I got this little tiny problem, just a little problem, but I need your help understanding this. Airbnb is offering housing to Afghans that are coming to America. Airbnb, they're usually pretty nice accommodations, and typically in the middle of communities, across America. So does Airbnb have a government contract that we don't know about? And if they do, I don't necessarily have a problem with that progressive spirit, you know. I don't necessarily have a problem with it, but I think it's clever. I think it's a great way to make money, and I think it's a way to offer up housing and feel, you know, that passion and sympathy for people that may have supported us. And so I'm all on board with that. But I'm gonna need your help because it's a tiny problem, not a big problem, but it is a problem that I think we should discuss. And I want to hear your thoughts on it, right? Because does Airbnb have a government contract? Now, I say that because what about the millions of homeless people we have in America? What about those millions of people we have in America? Fort Stewart, Georgia. Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri. Fort McCoy, Wisconsin. Fort Polk, Louisiana. I guess you're wondering, Jay Wright, where you going with that? What are you mentioning those military bases for? Because I mention those military bases because I've always been an advocate that they could house 50,000 to 100 people without a problem, given all the property, the hundreds and hundreds of acres of property that those military bases are. And what I also know, as a retired veteran, is that those bases are a lot of those spaces are unoccupied today. We don't have the same size military we had when I was in back in the 80s. So we got a lot of unoccupied territory on, i.e., all those military bases. Number one, we can have homeless people living there, but that don't seem to be a priority. In fact, we got it right here at the Navy base, right here in Charleston. So find a base near you, see if you can visit, and just look at how much free open space that's available, our old facilities that aren't not being used. And just wonder why we can't get just that little small, tiny thing right and address our homeless population, right? But then try to get the understanding of the difference between an asylum seeker and a refugee. I wished everybody that did anything for us in Afghanistan well. I want them to prosper. I want them to come here and have a chance to live in this great old, big old democracy that I live in. But those are just questions that I want you, the listening audience, to help me answer, because I'm just not sure why Airbnb. But I guess, you know, again, that's a progressive spirit. I think it's clever. But maybe you can tell me why Airbnb and why this is good for them. And then we can also talk about why we're not utilizing space that I know we have. I know for a fact we have. I'm already. I got a caller on the line that wants to talk about what I'm talking about. They want to talk about something. Good morning, caller. Welcome to WJNI 106.3. You're on the Jay Wright Show.
Yeah, Jay, I think we were thinking the same thing. It kind of bothered me the whole weekend, too. And it doesn't bother me the people coming in. What bothers me is that in maybe a year or two, these people will have probably more than 50% of Black people in America. The government puts them up in housing, gives them stimulus money, and I won't call it stimulus. Some of these people will be on the payroll for the rest of their lives, government payroll. And so there is an issue I have with that, you know, and that's why I said I think Black people need to have a plan for their kids, because in 10 or 20 years, we're going to see the impact of this 50,000, 100,000 people that the United States has brought into America. In some cases, these people, when they can't find homes, they create cities for these people, mm-hmm. little towns. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, you see these little towns with, it's just Somalis or Afghanistans or, you know, the different people. And we got to understand that what's going on, and we should know what's being given these people. These people are giving housing, they're giving money, education, and so forth. Whereas we got people being evicted,
absolutely,
from their homes right now.
Absolutely,
and you know, so we need to talk to our congressmen and find out exactly, you know, what is the game plan for these folks. And I think Black folks have been in America a long time, and to see somebody come out into America and within a year or two have more than we ever had.
You know, that's you're 1,000% correct. We do need to find out what is the game plan, because I think that information does need to be trickled down to the taxpayers and the citizens. I mean, because again, this is what we have. We have the privilege of having a democracy here. They have never been anyone successful in Afghanistan in trying to create a democracy. They ran the British out of there. They ran the Soviet Union out of there when they were a stronghold. We spent 20 years. They don't want what we have here. And so, you know, I agree with you 100%. You know, we do need to know the game plan, and we also should be looking down the road at what this could look like 5, 10 years from now.
Yes.
Thank you so much for your call, man. I got a guest should be calling in line.
Okay.
Always continue to listen.
Okay.
Call in, encourage others, man. I really appreciate the dialogue. Thank you so much for the call.
Absolutely. All right.
You heard the caller. He was when I mentioned it, you know, that's he was thinking the same thing. And you know, that's the privilege of having this opportunity to bring information to you, because I would always hope that what I'm sharing, what I may have found to be important enough to discuss on Sunday morning, somebody else was thinking the same thing. But of course, it is also that great privilege that you have that maybe what I'm saying you have a problem with, but you have that right to call up, because you know, I'm not right. I am Jay Wright, but, you know, I could be wrong. But it's still going to be the Jay Wright Show. Marvin Gaye sang a song in 1971. Marvin Gaye said, the song went like this, and I won't sing because I've been told millions of times I can't sing. It says, mercy, mercy me. Things ain't what it used to be. And Marvin eloquently said that war was not the answer. Only love can conquer hate. Those lyrics are very valuable for us right now today. And so let's just think about that. But I'm going to jump right on the line. I got my guest that's going to be calling in here in just a few minutes. We'll get him up here. And thank y'all. Let's get on the line with me is our Mayor Will Haney from the mighty town of Mount Pleasant, running for re-election. Mayor Haney, thank you so much, sir, for taking time out of your valuable schedule and busy schedule, I know, to be on with me this morning. Welcome.
Thank you, John. It's a privilege to be here, and I appreciate you asking me.
Absolutely, absolutely. I know a lot of moving parts, but what are the most important issues in the town of Mount Pleasant right now? And we'll get right into it, and I want to wish you well on the re-election.
Thank you.
And before I get in trouble, let me say hi to Suzette, because I got to get that
well,
in.
You're great. Thank you very much. Yeah, I will tell her you said that.
Thank you.
First of all, I appreciate it. And John, as always, I want to thank you for your 2 decades, I think, 23 years, 27 days, and 3 hours of service to our country.
Man, Haney, you almost got it down pat.
I'm close. Not exact. But as a combat engineer, and I was thrilled that you announced that you were running for Mount Pleasant Water Works.
Absolutely, sir.
And hopefully you have the opportunity to serve your community after serving your country. And I stand by you in that, and I have served on that as mayor of Mount Pleasant. You serve as a full commissioner, you know, a voting commissioner, and it is a well-run operation, and I think you would be a tremendous asset to that. And so I appreciate you offering yourself for service. So let me go back to your question.
Yes, sir.
I would be remiss if I did not say that the most pressing issue facing the town of Mount Pleasant is what's facing our county, our state, and our country, and that is the life and death issue of COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought this was behind us, and we all put our mask away. We have had since May about a 65% vaccination rate in the town of Mount Pleasant. We should be very proud of that, but let's keep pushing for it. Let's keep getting access to vaccines for those who are traditionally underserved medically in our community. You were a part of that. I was a part of that going all the way back to January.
That's right.
And so that is the number one issue. What is different from before is that there are more knowns now. There's a lot more vaccinations now. We know more about how it spreads. We know more about how it will affect our local healthcare infrastructure capacity, which is critical in any decision that we make. So that's number one. We keep our eye on that every day. I hope our school district successfully manages this threat. You know, my wife's a career school educator, and it's a serious issue. So we want to keep them in class, and I think having masks on is by far the best way to do that. And one thing we know about this Delta variant is around the world, it spikes quickly and then kind of, I won't say goes away, but let's say it declines. So mm-hmm. I'm thinking, you know, for the next few weeks, this will be a spike and then hopefully it'll decline like it's done worldwide. Second issue in Mount Pleasant, as always, is managing our growth so that we do not lose our quality of life. Mm-hmm. And that we don't strain our infrastructure, which you, our listening public, have already paid for. And we don't need to make it not work for you anymore because we're too busy bringing other people in. And so we're doing that. Since I've been mayor, we slowed growth to 2%. I would have liked to slow it a little more, but, you know, in politics, you get what you can and do the best you can. So we slowed growth to 2%. We have promoted affordable housing and attainable housing. We have four millennials in our family, and two of them would like to live here in Mount Pleasant, but it's so expensive. And we've got to find an answer to that. We have done things to promote attainable, affordable housing in Mount Pleasant, and we're going to keep that up. We have got to work with the county to find something that works on Highway 41, mm-hmm. and it's got to be something that works in the long run. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about that a little bit more. Certainly. And then the other thing we're going to do, and I hope people know that we are committed to this, as soon as our wage and class study is updated, because it was first done in 2019, it'll be updated. We're going to get our first responder pay where it needs to be, and we're committed to that. So those are some of the big issues facing the town. As always, don't forget, we're still in an opioid crisis, and this Tuesday we're having the day to remember those who have died from overdose in our community. And Nancy Shipman with Wake mm-hmm. Up Carolina turned tragedy into triumph for many people in this town that she has helped. And so we'll be gathering on the lawn in front of Town Hall this Tuesday night to remember those that we have lost. And it's a lot, you know, it's like a quiet epidemic. So John, those are the main things, and I appreciate you asking.
Well, you know, Mayor Haney, I do want to thank you. I want to definitely thank you for hitting on each of those items, and because there are, of course, issues that are being discussed in the town of Mount Pleasant. And I know, of course, fire and police will be taken care of. I know that's just simply a matter of what is right, and I know you'll do just that. I want to thank you for mentioning this Tuesday night and Nancy Shipman. Nancy has done an extremely good job of raising awareness to the opioid crisis. So Tuesday night, at what time on the lawn and at the town of Mount Pleasant, that beautiful lawn?
Let me check my calendar. I think it's 7:30, but I get in trouble when I try to go by memory.
I understand, sir. So I'll make sure I share the information. Say again?
7:30, annual Light the Way for Hope Luminary and Narcan training event. You can also get training in Narcan, and I don't know if people know, but it is a nasal spray, mm-hmm. and it causes no harm, and you're at no risk if you administer it to someone that you suspect is suffering from an opioid overdose. And all you do is I'm not an instructor, but it's a nasal spray.
Right.
And it does not interfere with anybody's other medications or anything, but it saves lives. And our first responders are all trained in that, and they have saved lives using Narcan.
That's very good. And Nancy has done a really good job, and the town of Mount Pleasant has done an excellent job of making that available to the citizens. And so hats off for that. I also want to thank you again, sir, for your position during the turbulent times back in, you know, while we were in the height of this pandemic and lives were being lost and this infectious disease was being spread. You made some very tough but good decisions that was best for all mankind. And
thank you.
And I want to really thank you for that. And I do want to ask you, though, with this new spike, what are you thinking that What do you think we'll look like, maybe, possibly, maybe 90 days from now, 60 days mm-hmm. from now? What do you think is that turnaround time before we should be able to see this current spike and effect that it's having on government?
I'm not trained in those things. I know what I'm hearing. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking that, here, let's call it 1st of September. Mm-hmm. What I'm hearing is there is a pattern that it could be, 30 to 45 days that we see this current spike declining.
Okay.
The effect of the vaccination rate is one thing. Being back in schools, I think, has contributed to this somewhat. I think people, like I was in the grocery store yesterday, and I wear my mask when I'm in there.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say probably only one out of three people were wearing their mask in the grocery store. And I know it's hard when you have spent from January till now telling people to get the vaccination, go out and get it. It's hard to then say, well, why don't you wear your mask again? And I get that. I mean, I'm fully vaccinated too. I waited until my group, was eligible, and then I got my vaccination at one of our drive-thrus, which you were a big
help
with.
Yes, sir.
I'm hoping, and this is just me as an untrained, not a trained medical person, I'm hoping this trend will be like 30, 45 days, and then we'll see it start to decline again because it is the Delta variant. And we just know that if everybody would have gotten out and gotten that vaccination, that we probably would not be having this type of a spike. So I urge everybody, please get that vaccination. The Pfizer vaccination is no longer experimental. It is approved. And I think we're going to see more employers requiring it. And I don't dabble in labor law, but I know people that work for companies, and I know the military is now going to require it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's going to become more of the norm than the exception that we're going to see. Absolutely. It's just too serious of an issue.
Absolutely. And we've never seen anything like this before. So to think that we got all the answers, you have them, I have them, that's just not possible. We've never seen nothing like this before.
I want to mention, too, and I wrote about this in an article that was published last fall in Mount Pleasant Magazine. And I'm sure all this will come up during this election cycle as we have candidate forums and things.
Mm-hmm.
My dad is a retired 85-year-old doctor. He served in the Navy as a doctor. He was a family medicine doctor, and then he got became a radiologist. So he has two medical specialties.
Mm-hmm.
And when this outbreak occurred, I asked my dad. I said, "Daddy, I ran to control growth and keep crime low and keep our quality of life." I said, I don't know what to do about a pandemic. And his advice to me as a wise old doctor was, listen to your local medical professionals. They are the ones that are treating your community and keeping your constituents alive. And so I listened to people like Roper St. Francis in Mount Pleasant and Patrick Downs at East Cooper Hospital, mm-hmm. and the good folks at the Medical University, all three of which have a very large presence in our community. And I don't think they ever steered me wrong as a local leader on anything from mask to a temporary stay-at-home order to any of those things. Because what people forget is we weren't dealing with national or state perceptions or politics on this. We were dealing with the ability of our local healthcare professionals, my neighbors and yours. I live next door to a medical university trauma nurse,
mm-hmm.
and I would see her every day, outside, and she would tell me what they were seeing.
Yeah.
And these folks are the ones that they can tell you how many people walked in the door that day, how many people they had to hospitalize and all of that. And people may doubt state or national statistics or the reasons of when or why we get them, but it's hard to look your neighbor in the eye or the doctor you go to and say, "I'm not sure I believe you." So your local folks never really let you down or steer you wrong, and that's who I relied on, and I'll stand by that. Whatever the test of time looks back on any decisions or leadership I provided, that's what I'll stand on.
And that's the value of leadership, and strong leadership is when you're not the subject matter expert of everything, but you go
exactly.
to those that are the subject matter experts. That's probably the most valuable tool a leader can have. And,
it is.
I can't thank you enough for that. Quick question I wanted to make sure I get in here before before you get off the air with me is, what effects does Charleston County Historic District designation for the Philip community have now that it's been a, now that it is designated? And, you know, Richard Habersham, I don't know if you know, Mayor, but he'll be on the back end of my show.
Good.
So I can congratulate him and his community. So I'm sure he's listening, and I guarantee you they're waiting for your answer.
Oh, good. Well, you know, we're glad to see it because that's one reason that we deferred, council deferred, not the applicant. And I hope everybody understands when it comes to annexation, there's a perception that towns reach out and say, we're going to annex you. It doesn't work that way under state law. You have to apply to be annexed into the town. Mm-hmm. And so this application of this 19 acres of Phillips, they wanted to kind of develop it a little more intensely than a settlement community would be, and they wanted to fall under the Park West Plan Development Agreement, which would allow, and I can't remember off the cuff, but let's say 3 or 4 houses an acre, something like that. Mm-hmm. So we turned down the zoning, and we said, no way we're going to allow that in Phillips. But at that time, there was no historic district designation. That didn't happen until this past week. Mm-hmm. And so we were, if they had not passed that at the county, we were going to approve the annexation to keep it under our community conservation, which is designed to protect nothing other than settlement communities. That's what the community and community conservation means. Okay. And so now that they have that historic district, we don't need to annex it. It will be preserved as part of the Phillips community. And that was our goal from the outset. And so when it comes up for second reading, I know I, and I think others will say there's no need to annex it now. So so it'll be protected, and we're glad to see that. And, you know, we have a sweetgrass basket overlay district. Mm-hmm. We have community conservation, all of that to preserve our settlement communities, not only for what they are, but for what they mean historically. Mm-hmm. And if the county is now doing that for Phillips, then we think that's a good thing. And we listen to Richard Habersham and them and say, don't annex it. Not going to annex it. Not on my vote. Not with my vote.
Outstanding, Mayor Haney. Yeah. And I really appreciate you bringing, you know, having a chance to talk about that, because that did just happen this week. And, you know, your deferral happened a week prior. So I think it was very important enough to mention that, and to the millions of listeners on the Jay Rice Show, to get your position and perspective on that. I think it's quite valuable, your input on that and what we should expect. I'm very happy for the Phillip community, and we do have a very unique set of dynamics in Mount Pleasant with the settlement communities and how far they date back, and they were a big part of our cultural asset for Mount
Pleasant. That's right.
I want to thank you so much, Mayor Haney, for being on with me this morning. I wish you the best in your run for mayor, and I'm sure we'll see each other and we'll talk again between now and November. And thank you so much, sir, for what you're doing. And I look forward to having you on the show again. Anything in parting?
Thank you, John. No, the honor is all mine. I wish you well, and I look forward to seeing you serve in the community even more. So I'll see you out there at the candidate forums.
Outstanding, Mayor Haney. You take care. Enjoy your day.
All right, you too. Bye.
Thank you. Mayor Haney, re-election for the town of Mount Pleasant mayor. You know, I'm sure he did not anticipate a pandemic in the middle of his four-year term. But as he said, you know, he... Like a smart leader, did not know what to do. And if you're one of those that think that you already got the answer for something that you ain't never seen before, then maybe leadership is not what you want to do. You don't want to get in leadership because, you know, sometimes you got to be, while you try to be proactive, you got to be reactive, but you also got to be smart and put yourself in that right place with all those subject matter experts that are going to help you and lead you. And your efforts to move forward. I talked about the difference, you know, and what's going to happen here in Afghanistan with the people that are coming from Afghanistan. And I encourage you again, 843-308-9564 is the number to call up if you got a concern about that. Because, I encourage you, if you know a military base near you, go look at them. Got a call on the line. We're going to jump right in. Good morning, caller. Welcome to WJNI 106.3. You're on the Jay Rice Show.
Hey, peace, it's Derek.
Good morning.
It is Dr. Tamara Butler. How are you?
I'm doing well. On the line with me. Say your name again, and let's talk about the institution that you guys represent.
Peace. My name is Darren Lee Calhoun II. I am the Facilities Public Program and Outreach Director at the Avery Research Center for African American History and Culture.
And I'm Dr. Tamara Butler. I'm the Executive Director of the Avery Research Center for African American History and Culture.
Outstanding. It's a pleasure to have you two on. Thank you for taking time out of your schedule to be on the Jay Rice Show. Jay Rice Show have millions of listeners, so we're going to learn some things about Avery this morning, and the world also is going to hear more about this, the Avery Research Center. And, of course, my listeners, they all have a pen in their hand. They're ready to write down any information you're going to share with them this morning. And some of them, you know, are drinking coffee and mimosa and tea and legs crossed. So let's hear about what's going on with Avery. But let me, before I even go into y'all telling us about what's going on at the Avery Research Center, why it's important to this community and to the world. We just lost a giant, Lucille Whipper, and I knew she played an integral part in supporting Avery, and I think as a teacher at some point, I believe. Let's talk about her role there at Avery, if we can.
Absolutely. The Avery right now, we're in our state of mourning, and we are forever grateful for the role of the Honorable Lucille Whipper. It was her vision, along with others from who we call Averyites, who former students of the Avery, who founded the Avery Research Center, saved our building in the 1970s from being turned over to being condos. And eventually got us to be the Avery Research Center instead of the Avery Normal Institute building, merged with the College of Charleston in the late 80s. So it's on her back and on her shoulders that we stand right now. So we are in our time of reflection, and we look forward to honoring that great woman over the next few days and months as it comes. So we definitely lost another giant within a pillar of the Charleston community. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I want you guys to mention it, of course, because it's happening today. I want you to talk about the event that you're having today, the Avery Family Reunion, and how important is that reunion today from 1 to 2 in your parking lot, given the current situation with Lucille Whipper. How valuable and of a timing is this?
So, I mean, it's an important event. So for us, we really want to think about welcoming home and welcoming our students. So our event is really geared towards welcoming the students back to the college campus, getting them to meet with different organizations who may be available on campus, community resources, as well as we have students will be able to get COVID vaccines through our partnership that we have. So for us, it's really just kind of getting students to see Avery, to know where it is, because a lot of folks have recognized the beautiful bright red building mm-hmm. on Bull Street, but some of our students just haven't had the opportunity to see it due to COVID. Or do this like this their first year on campus. And so for us, it's just an opportunity to welcome students into the community, but also welcoming students back as well. Mm.
Yeah, well, I like to get down there to see it myself because I haven't seen it. And my sister was here. She's doing some research in Mount Pleasant, and I know she came by and spoke about how beautiful the building was and could not believe that I hadn't been down there to see it yet. So, Lynette, I'm making a commitment to get down there. And that's happening today from 12 to 2, correct?
It is, and it's open to College of Charleston students and faculty. We're really trying to keep it small because it's COVID time still. We're mm-hmm. still in the middle of a panini or a pandemic, and so we really want to make it so that students can come in and out, you know, pick up a hot meal, and then, you know, meet a couple folks and carry on so that we can keep our social distancing and be responsible with our programming.
Certainly. So now, so what should we expect from Avery in the future? And let's talk about some other great things that you guys are doing down there. And what are you And I also want to make sure I can't help but say this because I'm a part of it. I got to get you guys and let's sit down and talk about that 1904 schoolhouse that's being relocated in Mount Pleasant area in this non-community to become a cultural education center. So at some point we got to talk about that. But we'll schedule time. But I think it's valuable, a worthy project, and I'm sure you we'll have dialogue about it. But let's talk about things that are going on with Avery and what we should know, and what we should look forward to.
Absolutely. So we, at the Avery, we always try to continue the legacy of what was built for us. As you all know, we were formerly a teacher education school from founded in 1865 and ran until 1954. And everything that we do tried to stand on that legacy of the excellence in education as well as social justice and civil rights. So when we're looking at the Avery now and how we are committed to our archives, our community education, our museum, as well as public programming. Everything we do stands on that. With our race and social justice initiative, we're still out here having community programs. We have our Avery digital classroom where people can tune in at various times of the month to learn different things about the different rooms that we're in. We have different scholarships as well as for college students, as well as fellowships for educators in Charleston County School District, one the former being the James B. Campbell Social Justice Scholarship, as well as the Cynthia McCautry Smith Teacher Excellence Awards that we have going on. We were blessed to receive some grants to start archiving different facets of the Black Lives Matter movement starting in 2014 in Charleston, moving forward and connecting that to the past of the civil rights activism in the South of Charleston. We also received a Facebook grant from Coastal Community Foundation to start doing more archival oral history work. We have a lot going on. We have a staff of 7 people, but we do the work of about 50 to 100. So we always have different events going on. We always have different outreach going on, including our community gardens that we're putting around Charleston right now. Okay. It's a lot.
Well, that's good. And that's what it takes all to stay relevant. You got to do a lot. And
absolutely.
And you're obviously doing that. And how can anyone reach out to you guys? And what would be the best way for someone that wants to reach out and know more about Avery? Where should they go?
For us, we would encourage you to go to our website. So avery.cofc.edu is the best place to go to get information. If you are a social media guru or not so much, we are on Twitter. We're on Instagram. We're also on Facebook. If you haven't figured out you're like, oh, well, what kind of program are you all doing in the midst of the pandemic? We're also doing the Avery Digital Classroom, which is on YouTube. So you can catch any of our previous programs that we've done, including our virtual Black History Month. We've also done book talks, conversations with women in basketball and coaches. So just kind of it's running the spectrum. So you can definitely find us online. At avery.cfc.edu.
Well, that's exactly what the information we need to get to the people. I want to thank you both for being on with me this morning. This show is designed to be informative and to inform the public about the great work that you guys are doing, but more importantly, the great work of the institution itself. So thank you all both for being on with me this morning, and I look forward to having a long relationship and learning more myself. I'm born and raised here, but spent 29 years away. I never even heard of Avery until I came back home the last 8 years. So I'm being honest.
Well, we want to welcome you home. Absolutely.
I never even heard of it.
Exactly.
So now, this has been like 8 years of home, learning more about my own hometown that I just didn't pay much attention to as a kid. But thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you both. And I look forward to working with you. Is there anything imparting, sir?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And we're always looking for donations. If anybody want to donate to the Avery, we have our support tab on our website. You can support any of our initiatives that we have going on and also helping us try to restore 123 Bull Street, our teachers. So please help us, and we look forward to welcoming everybody home when it's safe to do so.
Outstanding. Thank you both. Exactly. And y'all enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll be in touch.
Thank you.
All right. Avery Research, two giants doing great things at Avery. We need to know who they are. We need to visit the site. We need to know more about Avery. I need to know more about Avery, and I'm going to make a commitment to do that. That's why I have people on the show again that are experts and that know a whole lot more than Jay Wright. So when I get on the show and I'm talking, bam, there you go. An expert comes on to talk about things that I just can't talk about, and we value that. That's a valuable part of a call-in talk show and this platform. So, you know, I can't help but mention, and, you know, it is important, the death penalty upheld for the little domestic terrorist, Dylan Roof. You guys know how I feel about Dylan. They upheld it. I don't know why he thought maybe that he should go back and possibly even be retried for that terrible, cowardly act of what he did to all those folks in that church. Some of my family is. From what I now know, why did he think for some reason he was going to get that overturned? You know, I don't know if you know it, but I've talked about it before. Dylan Roof is in Terre Haute, Indiana, in a prison miles away from South Carolina for an act that he committed here in South Carolina. Does that make you taxpayers angry? If you're a citizen and you're a taxpayer, 843-308-9564 is the number. 843-308-9564 is the number. How do you feel about your tax dollars going to Indiana where Dylan is being housed at? And this, how do you feel about that? Are you okay with it? And is that also a letter to your legislators and asking them, you know, to kind of explain that as well? So it's on the table. You want to talk about it, you know the Jay Wright Show. Call up. Let's talk about it. Also got to make sure I say a special prayer to the folks in Tennessee. That flooding that we saw this past week, it was something that it's hard to even watch because it seems so tragic. And it seems so much like how do you recover from that? I mean, it is not easy to watch what we saw this weekend in Tennessee and that flooding. So we want to also send a, you know, special shout out and prayers on not only behalf of Jay Wright, our listeners and our sponsors. Got a call on the line. We're going to jump right in. Good morning, caller. Welcome to WJNI 106.3. You're on the Jay Wright Show.
Good morning, Johnny.
Good morning, Cousin M. This is, y'all know Cousin M. This is my weekly caller. Cousin M is calling from upper parts of North Carolina. And she's listening every week. Good morning, ma'am. How are you this morning? And
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good. Dylan Roof should never see daylight again. Mm-hmm. I think he needs to get an injection, okay?
I don't think you're talking about the vaccine. You're not talking about giving him the vaccine.
No, okay. No. The one that out your lights.
Okay.
because why should we have to pay our tax dollar to keep this maggot breathing?
Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah. Yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
I mean, what he did was really despicable. One of the members of that church, at least we know Reverend Simmons,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My mother, your grand aunt, mm-hmm. went to college with his brother.
Wow.
Okay?
Okay.
They're in the same graduating class.
Wow.
Okay?
Wow.
In Columbia, okay. Allen University.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Didn't know that, Em. Did not know that. If nothing else, my cousin Em keeps me well-versed on family that are doing things and who they were. So if you often hear her come on this show and say that, you know, or if I say something, then you can just automatically say, Johnny didn't know that. He got that from Cousin M. So thank you always for shedding light on things like that, because you're right. I mean, there is probably no real easy words to use when you mention Dylan's name. It's just hard. It's just hard to use him to have create a narrative that would give him any positivity whatsoever. And him, you know, one of the things I hate so much is the fact that with that horrific, cowardly act, he's going to become famous. We're going to hear his name for years to come. But, you know, I guess that's just how we do here in America. But I wish there was a way to just not mention his name at all. The record books has him in the record. So I guess.
Yeah. One other thing, too. Avery Institute.
Uh-huh.
Our aunt graduated from there many years ago.
Okay.
My mother's older sister, our aunt Geneva.
Okay.
Okay.
Didn't know that.
She was an educator.
Okay.
Yes.
Didn't know that.
When I heard Avery, I said, let me call in and, you know, let you know that also.
Good. Well, listen, that gives me all the more reasons for me to get over there and kind of get a little activity going on with Avery. I'll do it. I'll make sure I do it, and I'll make sure I take her name with me when I go, you know, as one of my relatives that had something to do with school. So thank you so much, Cousin Nam. I always appreciate you.
Oh, you're welcome.
And you take care. Enjoy the rest of your
day. You too, and I will call you later, okay?
I know you will. All right, cuz. Thank you.
Okay. Right. Thank you.
All right.
Bye now.
Cousin M, y'all heard her. She's a regular listener, regular caller. Some people are callers. Some people are listeners. Cousin M is both. She's listening and she's calling. And she wanted to talk about the issues. And obviously, I have issues on the table, and she's chiming in on them. You know, Professor... Professor T-Base, I did want to ask a question of you, man.
Yes, sir.
Do you think this Airbnb thing is good for what we're going to see with that?
I think you said it earlier. The people behind Airbnb probably have some sort of a government contract. It sounds like they just have a big heart, but they probably have a big check.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, we live in a country where capitalism is really the king.
Absolutely.
You know, so.
Absolutely.
You know, however they do what they do, good for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, should have been maybe Airbnb. I probably did the same thing, you know, but, you know, you also said earlier with the caller, you know, that we get what is served to us in every component of life. We get what's served to us.
Mm-hmm.
The general public is never in the kitchen. Don't know how it got cooked, why it got cooked, who provided the ingredients for it to get cooked. We just get what's served.
Right.
And that's in every aspect of life. That's why a show like this has value. That's why news has value.
Mm-hmm.
You got to understand how to decipher it, because you can be led astray and run amok if you don't know how to process what is being served.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
The impact of what's happening, because we keep hearing about, just to go back to Afghanistan and the people that we're trying to help and look out for, the people that want to get out of there, you know, much as being in America can give me a headache sometimes because of what we have seen and in your years of life, it pales to what the people over there are going through. But,
absolutely.
You know, thankfully, we don't have daily suicide bombs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes we have mass shootings, you know, but once again, it's just, there's no comparison. But once again, all we hear is what is being served to us. As far as the people that are coming and getting out of there, we can't relate because we never have to get out of here,
right,
to go somewhere else.
Absolutely.
So we don't really, once again, we just have to accept or almost accept what is being served to us.
Mm-hmm.
The people that are getting out, well, why are they getting out? What did they do? How did they help us? We don't know.
We
have they done for us?
We will we probably don't know. We will probably never know, Professor
right.
T. Bass.
But somebody says that. Right. You know, so, you know, I think the best thing can happen, just to put that whole situation in a nutshell, can't wait till September 1st. We can get out of there.
Right.
You know?
That's right. That's
it's,
right.
It's not Biden's fault.
That's right.
It's all of their faults.
That's right.
It's
Absolutely.
Trump's fault. It's Obama's fault. It's Bush's fault.
Absolutely.
It's Osama bin Laden's fault. He's, you know, if it started there, I mean, this goes back. Let Afghanistan do whatever they're going to do, and when they strike on us, we do what we do.
Absolutely.
But we got to get out of there, and it's over.
And you know, again, you know, I mentioned it earlier, man, that nobody has ever been successful there. That
no
is a country that you aren't going to change. Yeah. And you can go there and fight for as long as you want to. And again, as Marvin Gaye eloquently puts it, war is not the answer. And it was not the answer for Afghanistan, because we spent 20 years there, a lot of money, a lot of resources. We left a lot of resources there. Heck, we could have some of those buildings that were being used in Afghanistan put on some of those military bases that I was talking about, and those can be housing for the Afghanistan people, our homeless population.
Yeah.
We got to just start thinking more strategically. And one of the valuable things you said, Professor T. Bass, was that we have you mentioned the whole idea of being served and what we're being served. You know, a lot of times if you're not at the table, you could be on the menu.
And, that's right.
you know, so election season. We're in election season now. There's races that are happening in Charleston County, the city of Charleston elections. There are elections that are happening at the town of Mount Pleasant. You heard Mayor Haney on earlier. He's up for re-election in the town of Mount Pleasant. So pay attention. Don't just get served. At least, you know, put some input into it and have some value, create some value. But it is election season, and one of the things uniquely you will. Not uniquely, one of the things on purpose you will hear on the Jay Wright Show from now until November is I'm going to start giving out the number to the Board of Elections starting next week. So you can call up and get information yourself. Starting next week, the Board of Elections is going to say, why are we getting all these calls? Jay Wright is on, and he's giving out your number. Don't be mad at me.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it out every week so you can call up and get the information yourself firsthand. I don't want to say one thing or another. But then what's also important is that over the next several weeks, you're going to hear from candidates, all of them. If you're running for office and you don't call the Jay Wright Show, you might not get elected.
Shame on you, yeah.
There's consequences to not calling the Jay Wright Show and giving us your platform and helping the people get to know who you are. There are consequences. You just might not get elected. So over the next couple of weeks, you're going to hear from as many people.
I believe you're special. Your last special guest is on the line, but before I let him in, today is the anniversary of Hurricane Katrina.
Wow.
And they're getting a hurricane in the next really couple of hours that's probably stronger than Katrina. So just keep those folks. I have a lot of family in that area.
Wow.
Keep them in your thoughts, because, what timing?
Yeah.
We can't make this stuff up.
You're right. You can't make it up, man. And this is a hurricane season, so you gotta pay attention. Stay safe out there, and listen and be informed on what's being said about what precautions you should take and how you should take them. And don't get caught, but out there sleeping.
That's right.
Good morning. I got my call on the line. Good morning, caller. Welcome, WJNI 106.3. You're on the Jay Wright Show. Caller, you there? All right, we'll get that call up here in just a few.
Yeah, I believe that's Mr. Habersham.
That was Mr. Habersham.
Oh, yes, I'm here.
Good morning, Mr. President. Richard Habersham.
No, I'm just the spokesman. That's it.
Hey, listen, man. Listen, right now, you are the man. I'm telling you right now, and I'm saying it right here on the Jay Wright Show with all my millions of listeners, that Richard Habersham is on the line. Richard and his community has done something amazing. And again, like he said, he didn't do it alone. So, Richard, congratulations to the Philip community, being the very first black settlement community east of the Coupa to get a Charleston County Historic Designation. Congratulations.
Hey, thank you. You know, it took us a while, and you know, with COVID and everything, we had some setback, but we made it through, and I have to give thanks to Charleston County Planning Department, mm-hmm. with Nikki Grimble and that crew.
Yeah.
They really helped us out a whole lot.
Good.
They walked us through the whole process.
And you know, Richard, that's valuable because, you know, a lot of times people don't understand how government work and the interconnectivities that you can have with them, because they're people too, right? And they understand, you know, what you might be dealing with. And they also are what we call subject matter experts. And as you clearly put it, for you to give them credit, that means that you've been working collaboratively with a lot of others to make sure that this was what was best for your community.
Yes, yes. And, you know, when we first went for it, you know, it's not that we just want to be a historical district. We were looking at what all comes with it.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to Mayor talked about the Sweetgrass Basket Overlay District earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was a good concept, but that didn't have no teeth.
Right.
But with this district, the historical district, it'll help the community. You know, what the two difference was that the Sweetgrass Basket District was there, but when developer comes in, they'll go to the town and annex into the town and change the zoning.
Mm-hmm.
With the historical district, I don't think they'll be able to allow do that no more.
Mm-hmm.
They will still have to maintain that same integrity of the community. And then we have that extra layer of protection from the county saying that, okay, does this fit the community? Because right now we got some houses that building in Phil's community. It starts at $600,000.
Wow.
And we're not saying that you shouldn't develop your property now. I'm not saying that.
Absolutely.
But what we're saying, we want it to fit within, and it'll come out with affordable housing, and it'll keep Philip affordable for the residents.
Because
you know you can get priced out your own home.
Absolutely.
Around here.
Absolutely.
Especially in Mount Pleasant.
That's a huge threat to Mount Pleasant. Is,
yeah.
Getting priced out of your community, you certainly can, and it's happening. You know. So Richard, I want to really thank you, man, for what y'all done, and you and the community. For stepping out there, you know, I for the record, I do serve on that Historic Preservation Commission for Charleston County, it was a pleasure voting on this, and I knew that you all would be that community that people would automatically have to now go to find out how did you do it, and you all can become that subject matter expert for what the historical district could be and is, man. I want to thank you so much, man. Congratulations.
Well, following our footsteps, you know, you got the 10-mile community. They're
mm-hmm.
going through.
Right.
And I spoke with some people out of the Red Top area.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're thinking about doing the same thing, too. So like you're saying, that you know, other communities are thinking about preservation.
Mm-hmm.
They're yeah. thinking about that next generation.
Absolutely.
And that's what our thing was. At least give that next generation a chance.
That's right.
You know, just from looking at some of these other communities
mm-hmm.
where it was settlement communities, it's no longer there.
That's right.
And that was our motivation, you yeah. know, that chance for that next generation. Because, you know, we've been around since the 1800s.
That's right. Well, Richard, listen, man, I'm coming right up on the end of the show, man. I want to thank you so much. You and I will get together and we'll do this show. We'll talk more about, you know, this great designation, man. But thank you, and thank you to the Phillip community. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you, Derby, for having me.
All right.
Have a good day now.
You do the same.
Right.
That's Richard Habersham, the president. Ask You Paint and Body Shop, Dorothy's Funeral Home, F. Brisbane Mortuary Transport, Gyrus Place, Letter in the Life of Vanderhorst, Johnson & Hall Funeral Home, Hannibal's Kitchen, Family Seafood Market, Tech Masters, True Life Ministry. Thank y'all. Thank y'all for allowing me to bring this show to you, and y'all stay in peace until next time.